Well, amen to those songs. Amen.
Amen.
Amen to those songs. One of them said, "Tell of his excellent greatness." That's our Jesus. Would you allow me to take a few minutes to tell of his excellent greatness tonight?
Amen.
I think it's important that we consider for a moment when I greet you in Jesus' name, what that means. Jesus, tell of his excellent greatness, the one who we were singing about. How great was he? How great is he? Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, Jesus Christ, is the express image of the person of God, the Godhead. And upholding all things by the word of his power. Now that's pretty big tonight, brothers and sisters. That's pretty big. Upholding all things by the word of his power. And when he had by himself purged our sins, my sins, your sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hallelujah! That's our Jesus tonight. I greet you in Jesus' precious name. So I pondered about that greeting. You know, I thought it's sobering to me to greet you in such a name, because when I do that, I am making myself a representative of Christ, of Jesus. And what else I'm doing, I'm inviting Him, I'm bringing Him into our midst. This Jesus who has eyes as flame of fire, I'm welcoming Him into our midst tonight to come and search our hearts. This Jesus who Himself was God. Amen? He was God come in the flesh. Oh, how lightly we use the word Jesus sometimes. And I just want to endeavor for a moment to tell of His greatness, as a song that we sang said. The other night we were together with another family in our house there. We were singing this song here. And it struck me deeply. The song goes like this, and you'll recognize it, I'm sure, but it goes like this: "Abide with me, 'tis eventide. The day is past and gone. The shadows of evening fall, the night is coming on. Within my heart, a welcome guest, within my home abide. O Savior, stay this night with me. Behold, 'tis eventide. O Savior, stay this night with me. Behold, 'tis eventide. Abide with me, 'tis eventide. Thy walk today with me has made my heart within me burn as I communed with thee. Thy earnest words have filled my soul and kept me near thy side." Hallelujah. "Oh, Savior, stay this night with me. Behold, 'tis eventide. Abide with me, 'tis eventide. And lone will be the night if I cannot commune with thee, nor find in thee my light. The darkness of this world, I fear, would in my home abide. O Savior, stay this night with me. Behold, 'tis eventide." Now, I don't know if you recognize or not, but that song was taken, I believe, out of Acts there, where Jesus walked with those two men to Emmaus after his resurrection. And I want you to think with me, dearly beloved, tonight, as we were singing that song, it dawned on me, this was God walking with those two men. This was God. God, come in the flesh, was walking down that road to Emmaus with those two men. No wonder their hearts burned when he spoke and went back to Moses, it said, and he started to expound on all the scriptures that talked about what? That talked about him. That talked about Christ. That concerned him. Yes, he is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Hallelujah. It's also sobering to me, brothers and sisters, when I think how close his return is. I mean that tonight, brothers and sisters. Where you and I will get to see God. Many of us in this room may not see the grave, but we would see him coming with clouds in the air. Are you ready tonight, my friend, to see God? I give the words of Amos, prepare to meet thy God. He's coming again. And I believe we are in the last days. It struck me as we were singing this song in my living room that night. 6,000, or at that time it would have been 4,000 years of history. And God chose, now is the time for Christ to come. And he walked on earth, and he walked with those two men to Emmaus, and he caused their hearts to burn. And he went back into heaven sometime later. And the angel said, why stand ye there gazing? I tell you, in the same manner that you see him go up into heaven, he will come again. He's coming again, my friends. He is. I greet you in that precious name. Hallelujah. I'd rather not talk about myself tonight. We'll just talk about Jesus. I have a blessed family and 7 children at home, and had a granddaughter, my first granddaughter yesterday. Praise be to God. I'm excited about that. I'm a blessed father, a precious wife and children that I believe are praying for me and maybe listening tonight. I don't know. But I'm blessed and I'm excited to be here to share with you the good word of God. Hallelujah. I have a bit of a challenge verse here to give to the Bible school students, if you will allow me to do that. We also have a Bible school and back home, and it's been a blessing. And I'm one of those that get to read all the applications that come in and all the things that the students write in there. And I would say a large percent of the students, when they answer the question on, oh, how does it go? What is a couple of things you want the Lord to do in your life when you come to our Bible school? And many of them say, I want a deeper walk with God. That's a good desire, and I'm sure that's many of your desires here too. I want the deeper walk with God. Well, the other day I was reading in Genesis where the genealogies are given there from, what is it, Adam to Noah. And in there you'll find this little phrase. I'll read a couple verses to you. Now this is a challenge verse for you students. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. After he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And my challenge to you tonight is, and you can bring the answers to me tomorrow night, but I want you to think about this. What does it look like when someone walks with God? Can we somehow bring that down to our modern day where we live? You know, let's put some reality to it. Is it just the holy man that lives in the mountain with a long beard that comes out once a month and has a word and then he disappears again? Or is it someone, can it be someone in real life? You answer that to me tomorrow night before the service. What does it look like? What does a person look like that walks with God? I'll refrain from giving too many definitions or I'll make it too easy for you. So you take that and I'll be looking forward to your answers tomorrow night. What does it look like for a modern day Christian to walk with God? Because I'm sure it's many of your desires to walk with God. And it's biblical and it's right and it's God's will. Let us pray. Let us bow our heads. Let us stand in honor of the Lord tonight. Heavenly Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we welcome you tonight. Please come. We thank you that we have the precious promises by faith that you are and will be in a meeting like this where souls are seeking after the heart of God. There's many souls here tonight. Lord, it's a precious time to be together in and around the Word of God and the songs of God. And Lord, I pray for every heart here tonight. Oh God, do not pass by one soul tonight, Lord. Speak to everyone here tonight. Speak to me, dear God. I believe in a short time, dear Father, we will see you as you really are, God, in your greatness and in your glory and in our glorified bodies, Father. Oh, what a day that will be. But tonight we are here, Lord, on the earth, and we endeavor to preach the word. God, and we ask you to help us. Amen. Oh God, without you we can do nothing. Jesus said those beautiful words, and how much more is it true of us, oh God, oh frail man that we are. Have mercy upon us tonight, Lord. And help me to step out of the way, oh God, and let Jesus Christ come through for His glory, for His honor. Oh God, make me a teacher. For thy great name's sake, God, deliver me from wasting time tonight, O God. Give me a burden. Give me compassion, I pray. As I look out into the faces of the congregation, Lord, I pray for compassion and the love of God to draw things out of me that I don't even know that are there, dear God, that I do not have down on paper. As I see the eyes and the souls of men, some happy, some sad. Oh God, would you help me, Lord, to do thy will tonight? God, this is your time. This is your time, God. We give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I hope you can forgive me, students. I ask for your forgiveness tonight to yet once again here on honor tonight. I had it in my notes to preach tonight, and I did struggle a while today before the Lord as to whether I should change the message since we heard so much on that already today. Very beautiful challenge given to us this morning, but I felt led to go through with it tonight. I feel that there is probably enough of variation in where I plan to go tonight that it won't hurt us. It is God's Word. And tonight I want to preach on honor. Honor thy father and thy mother. honor thy father and thy mother is what I feel led to preach on tonight again. Honor thy father and thy mother. If you want to turn in your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6, New Testament scripture here, very familiar. Let's lay the foundation here in Ephesians chapter 6. And the truth of the matter is tonight that all of us sitting here tonight have a father and a mother. This applies to all of us, and I'd like to address the group that way. There may be times when I will be specifically addressing the Bible school youth, but tonight all of us have a father and a mother, and all of us are called to honor, to give honor to our father and our mother. And we want to look tonight at how deep this matter is in the heart of God. This is not a little matter in the heart of God, this matter of honor. We want to look at that tonight. But let's just read here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And tonight what we have here is a New Testament scripture. Paul is going back into the Old Testament and pulling out a truth, a principle that is still applicable today. That is that of honor, giving honor to our father and our mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. First of all, the first point what I'd like to do here is to expound a little bit on what it means to honor. What does it mean to give honor? If you would look the word up, honor, it means to prize. To prize. You know, when you prize something, it's valuable to you. You think about it. You set it out there where you can see it. It is precious to you. And that's what it means. Prize your father and your mother. Another definition is to fix value upon. It is something very valuable. What do we do with valuable things? We make sure they don't get lost, don't we? We put them in a secure place. We protect them. When we fix value upon something, we take much and great care of it. That's what God wants us to do in this matter of honoring our parents. It is something very valuable. I believe if you begin to lose that, you lose many other things in life too. When you begin to lose this principle. And it goes even a little bit higher than that yet, and it means to revere. To revere. In the old Levitical law, God commanded that ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. God commanded the children of Israel to fear every man his mother and his father. If you remember back when David was on his deathbed and he said, "I go the way of all flesh," I believe he said, and he made Solomon king in his stead. And then Adonijah came to Bathsheba and said, "I want you to go into Solomon and tell Solomon that Adonijah wants," and I forget her name, "he wanted a wife, and he wanted Bathsheba to go into the king Solomon and ask him for this woman." And here's the verse where that all happens in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 19. "Bathsheba therefore went in unto the king Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up." He rose up when his mother walked in. Now he was the king, and Bathsheba was his mother, And when the king saw his mother come in the door, he rose up off his throne. And that was a specific move on his part of giving honor to his mother, even though he was the king. And not only did he rise to meet her, but then he bowed himself. He rose and he bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat on his right hand. Just get that picture for a moment in your mind. Here's the king. Here comes his mother. He rises in honor of his mother, his blessed mother. And he bows his heart and he gives her a seat to sit down beside him. And he hears her request. You see, it was also in the Levitical law that thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, for I am thy Lord. This is in the heart of God, that we have that kind of respect and reverence and value upon our mother and our father. Of the Proverbs, the virtuous woman there in Proverbs, it is said of her that her children arise up. They arise up. You know, I used to think that means they get up in the morning and they bless their mother. But you know, I have a little different picture of that now. I think they rose up in honor to that woman and gave her honor. Her children arise up and call her blessed. And her husband also, and he praises her. He bowed himself down, Solomon did. Now I want you to turn with me for another example in the Old Testament, back to Genesis 48, if you would, please. Genesis 48, tonight, looking at the deep principle of God here, what's in God's holy heart about this matter of giving honor to our parents. In Genesis chapter 48, we have the account here of Joseph and Jacob. And Jacob is about to die here. He is old. He is down there in Egypt with Joseph. You remember Joseph was the second in command. He had been the second in command, been given the charge over all the corn and been very much promoted there in Egypt. And Jacob is now old and dying. In verse 29 of chapter 47, it says, "And the time drew near that Israel," or that's Jacob, "must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, If I now have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me." Going down to verse 1 of chapter 48. "And it came to pass after those things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon his bed." Going over to verse 8. "And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, Who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, These are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed him, and embraced him. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out before from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth." Now wait a minute. Jacob is blind. He can't see. What's the use of bowing? He's old. Ah, there was something deep in Joseph's heart, let me tell you. His dad is blind. He could have stood there But there is Joseph, also the second in command. He had authority. But here he is before his old father, and he bows himself to the ground. Dr. Delaney, I found something here. He had made a comment about this. He says this: "When I consider Joseph on his knees before God, I regard him as a poor mortal in the discharge of his duty to his Creator. When I behold him bowing before Pharaoh, I consider him in dutiful posture of a subject to his prince. But when I see him bending to the earth before a poor, old, blind, decrepit father, I behold him with admiration and delight. How doth that humiliation exalt him?" It does. It does. And it was in his heart, because it is in the heart of God. That honor is a deep principle in the heart of God tonight. And I believe God is wanting, the way He's been speaking to us today, I believe God is wanting to lift that thing up in our midst once again. That of giving honor to our parents. To honor not only prohibits injurious acts, irreverent and unkind speeches to parents, but also includes all necessary acts of kindness, respect, and obedience. We can scarcely suppose that when a man honors his parents who, when they fall weak, blind, or sick, does not exert himself to the uttermost in their support. Amen? Just a little bit of history there on what it means to honor. Just a couple examples there from God's Word. Let's go on to point number two tonight. Is this optional? You know, can I have just a little bit of disrespect? And is it really that important with God? How does God feel about this matter tonight? Is it something that we can take or leave? You know, we're just not that kind of family that gets real, real into it, you know, and we just kind of all do our own thing and we get along fine. Is it optional? Let's consider how God feels about it. God gave us a 10-point sermon on this. God gave us a 10-point sermon, not specifically on this, but it's in one of the points. It is. It is. And if you would turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, we'll see it. How God feels about this. How does God feel about this matter of honor? Where is it at in God's heart? What level of importance did God put on it? Exodus 20. We have Moses in the presence of God, there at Mount Sinai, and God speaks to Moses, and he says in verse 2 of Exodus 20, "I am the Lord God." Brothers and sisters, this is not my word tonight, but this is God's word. "I am the Lord God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage." I want you to remember tonight, God is saying, I want you to remember what I did for you. It was me that brought you out of Egypt. It was my mighty hand that delivered you. Now listen to what I have to say. I am the God of heaven. And he begins to speak. Here's his sermon. Are you listening? Thou, point number one, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Some people, they worship the sun. God says, don't do it. They worship the stars. God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Point number two is found in verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. People made idols out of stone and out of wood, And they bowed down and worshiped them, and God said, "Thou shalt not do it." Point number 3, verse 7. And he says a little bit more there. He elaborates a little more, but we'll, for the sake of time, just go down through here. Point number 3 is found in verse 7. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Don't talk about God lightly, flippantly, young people. Don't let light words come out of your mouth concerning this holy God who created you, who created the earth. He is in heaven. He is God. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless." Point number 4, verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Set one day apart solely, entirely for God." We do well not to lose that one, my dearly beloved. We do well not to go on Walmart on Sunday, my dearly beloved. We do well to set that day apart. There is a principle there that I believe will put into the lives of our children the fear of God. Today is the Lord's day. It's a different day. Point number. You might have to help me out. Where was I at? Point verse 8. Yes, point number 4. Okay, point number 5. Verse 12. "Honor thy father and thy mother." "That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Point number 6. "Thou shalt not kill." God's 10-point sermon here. Point number 6. "Thou shalt not kill." Point number 7. "Thou shalt not commit adultery." God feels strongly about that. And He made it a point in His sermon. Point number 8, verse 15. "Thou shalt not steal." It is wrong to take what is another person's. Point number 9. "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Lying is wrong. Point number 10. "Thou shalt not covet." And I was pondering God's 10-point sermon here, and I thought, you know, why is it? I mean, this point number where it says, "Honor thy father and mother," point number 5, is right in the midst of all the others. And I believe there would be many here tonight that would be conscientiously opposed against taking a gun and killing someone. You could not do it. Your conscience would keep you from doing it. There are probably many, most here tonight, that could not go into a store and steal probably even a pack of gum tonight. And that's right and good. And there, I hope there are pretty many here that it bothers you just a bit when you don't keep the Lord's Day holy. I'm sure there's probably some of those here. But what has happened, my dearly beloved? What has happened with point number 5? Why can God's children with disdain dishonor their parents? Didn't God, sometimes preachers say, well, my points, they are in order of importance. One is most important, two is more, less important. Sometimes preachers say they're not necessarily in the order of importance. Well, I couldn't figure out how God put them here, but I believe they're all important to God. And I couldn't differentiate one being more important than another. In fact, we have such a conscience against killing. That's point number 6. Point number 5 comes before that, and he actually enlarges on point number five, and he puts a promise with it that gives me at least a bit of a hint that it is more important. Why is it that young people can say, "Dad, you don't understand"? Why is it that young people can say, "Dad, I don't care what you think"? I'm sorry to say, but it was just not all that long ago that I heard a 15, 16-year-old church boy say those very words to his dad, "I don't care. I don't care what you want." But he probably could have not took a gun in his hand and shot someone. I don't see any difference, brethren, tonight. They're all in line there. "Son, I don't like your shirt you bought." "Oh, come on, Mom. Get with it. Get with the program." "Son, I don't want you to do that. But I don't see a difference tonight. It's all in God's 10-point sermon." Why can't we so lightly disregard our parents' wishes, godly wishes? And you sit here and I know you're churched. I don't know if there's anyone that ever said to your parents, "Shut up." But if you're sitting here tonight and you have told your father, "Shut up," you need to repent. You need to get right with God tonight. If you're sitting here, and even if in your heart, maybe you didn't say it, but you walked out the door and you wished my father would just shut up and let me alone, you need to do business with God tonight. God feels strongly about this. God spoke this from the mountain that shook so much and trembled with fire and thunder and lightnings that the people were afraid. This is God's heart. This is not old-fashioned. This is God's will. This is serious business. A little later in Exodus 21, verse 15, it says, "He that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death." Now let me give you something that I found from Reverend T. Scott. He says, "To smite either father or mother in a manner which indicated either contempt or malice or left marks of violence was deemed a proof of so ungrateful and unnatural a disposition that no provocation was admitted as an excuse. But the offense was made capital punishment. Nay, he who cursed his father or mother, who uttered imprecations, ill wishes, or revilings against a parent was included in the same sense. Though few crimes were made capital by the law of Moses, the law of God as delegated to parents is honored when they are honored." You have a heart? You want to honor God? Honor your parents. "The law of God is honored when they are honored and despised when they are despised. And to rebel against the lawful exercise of this authority is to rebel against God." It is. It is. "He that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." There was an indelible impression made upon my young mind back when I was probably, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 years old, somewhere in there. There was in our community a man that was unfaithful to his wife, a Mennonite family, and had a very bad name in the community and it was a very bad thing. But I didn't know the family that well, but one day I was with one of his sons and we were up the road from their house, up a hill where we could easily see down to their house where they lived. And down on that porch sat that father. He had come home periodically, and his son, along with a few other boys, was with me there, and he looked at his father and started to curse his father. I couldn't believe my ears. Even though there was many things wrong in my life, I had many things wrong, but something was so out of kilter with that, I never forgot it. It hurt me to my heart. My father was always a loving, gentle man, and I thank God for that. But he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Proverbs 15:5 says, A fool despises his father's instruction. Proverbs 30 verse 17 says, the eye that mocketh at his father despises to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it up. Point number three, how serious a matter is this to be around people like that? You know, does it rub off on you? Beware. Proverbs 30 verse 11 says, there is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. And it is not good to be close friends with those type of people. And I believe we're seeing that. I believe that is what we're living in. We are living in dark, dark times. And I want to lift up the standard and revive that beautiful precept and that beautiful principle of giving proper honor to our parents. And I'm not just talking about the outward show. I thought of what Jesus said about that father that had two sons, and he told him to go out to the field and work, and he told the one, he said, I might have to turn there. He said, go. And he said, I won't. But then he went after all and did the job. And the other said, I will, and then decided later to not do it. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, and of course, the point, and it's not exactly talking about honor there, it's talking about doing the will of the Father. But I was thinking, well, I don't think really either of them honored their father. But I got to thinking, you know, that first one that said he won't, and then afterwards decided that he would. You know, I believe upon thinking what he had said, and he decided, you know, I want to do it. I want to honor my father. And he went and did it. You know, for his father to come out later and see the one that said he would and then didn't, that would be a pretty hurtful thing. That was a slap in his father's face. That was not honor. But I would imagine that first one later on came back and told his father, you know what? I was wrong. I shouldn't have had that attitude. I should have been cheerful about it and went ahead and did it and do it. And I know, especially the young men that are sitting here tonight, you're growing up, becoming young men, and you got some strong ideas and strong feelings. And we live in a real world. Your feelings are real, and sometimes you don't always agree with your father. I want to give you that. But I would like to encourage you to take the example of that first son, that upon thinking over it, you do it anyway. You honor your father, you honor his request, and you go do what he wanted you to do in the first place. That's my recommendation for you. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We need to be informed concerning the days that we are living in. This is, in many places, the norm. This know also, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And in some cases, even having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Denying the power thereof to change their life. Amen. Denying the power thereof to live a holy life. Denying the power thereof to honor their parents. This is the generation that we're in. I believe it with all my heart. I believe it with all my heart. I forgot something. There was something really heavy on my heart and I didn't make a note here, but I want to go back if you'll allow me to do that. Back to where we were talking about, he that smiteth his father or mother shall surely be put to death. I got to thinking about this, and you know, for the young person who can come to the place where he can take his hand and actually hit his parent, I thought I probably should speak a little bit to the parents here tonight, because I believe something went wrong long time back. That they did wrong, that their children would actually be able to come to the place where there is so little fear of their parents that they could hit their parents. And I would just like to put a word in the night that, and I know I'm probably myself a bit weak on this, but, you know, too soft. Many of the times when my children do things they shouldn't, and I look the other way and pretend I didn't see it and hope it goes away. But, you know, if we don't deal with that rebellion when they're young, they may just come back to smite us when they're old. Let us beware. Let us see the seriousness of allowing rebellion and disrespect in our little children, parents, tonight. Let us see it for what it is and deal with it. That they will fear us. That when they do that the first time, they meet with a greater force that they will not forget right away. We will do ourselves a whole lot of good and our children if we do that. So let us beware. Thank you for letting me go back to that. Thinking of Jesus, what was his example in this? Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Let's look at the life of Jesus for an example of honor to his parents. Luke chapter 2. Jesus was a young man growing up, sensing his call in life, sensing his manhood, feeling his father's business, as he said there, which see not that I must be about my father's business. But let's look at his attitude and his honor toward his parents in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Well, let's go back and get the whole gist of it. Let's go back a little further. Verse 45, they found him not. They turned back again to Jerusalem. 46, after 3 days, they found him sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, in verse 48, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Talking about his heavenly father. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. But look at verse 51. It says, He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Yes, Jesus was subject to his parents. He honored them. And it brought the blessing of God upon his life. It does. It does. I was converted when I was 18 years old. And there was a lot of things. My Bible knowledge was very, very little. We were told not to read the Bible because it might confuse you. But at the age of 18, I was converted. And I was very zealous for the Lord. And I wanted to pray and I wanted to seek God and I wanted to serve the Lord to the point where my parents thought I'm going crazy. But you know, there was something in my heart still that always kept me, that I could never just defy their authority over me and walk out of the home and do what I thought God wanted me to do. Or yeah, probably I felt that way from time to time that, you know, I'm hindered. But there was an honor and a respect in my heart for my parents that kept me there in the old order Mennonite church till about 4 years after we were married and had established our own home. And God so beautifully opened the door. God also put in my heart to reach out to those dear people and He gave me a burden and I wanted by all means to see many come to Christ. And there was one goal that God put in my heart, and that was not to be put off for anything, any material reason, put out of the church. I wanted to be for Christ. And I so clearly remember the day sitting there in that room with all the deacons and bishops, and it was communion week, and so there was many of them there. And they looked at me and they said, "Elvin, you must promise that you will not go into prison anymore to minister to the inmates because you're not ordained." And oh, I looked out through the window that day and I could about see out up into heaven as I knew this was my open door to leave. This was time. And I knew they were asking me to do something that I could not do. But up to that point, and that, of course, that was very hard on my parents for someone to leave the old order setting. I'm sure there's many of that here tonight. Many of those that can relate to that tonight. And there were some tough and difficult times to work through, but we must maintain honor for those over us. And there may be even some here tonight. Maybe you were disinherited from your inheritance. How is your heart towards your father and mother? Is there anyone here tonight that left money, mammon, ruin your honor for your father or your mother because you were disinherited? If you're here tonight, do business with God and tell God, "God, I want to see it the way you want me to see it. I want to see this thing right. My father hurt me. My mother hurt me." Is there anyone like that here tonight? This is no little thing with God, my dearly beloved. It is not. If you have dishonor and hate toward the one who brought you into this world, you must do business with God. It is a serious matter. Now, we heard that today, but many of you weren't here today. You can't always obey their requests because sometimes they ask you to do things that is against God's word. But through that, we must maintain honor for those that brought us into this world. I know of someone recently. God brought them into a corner. And I'm not sure of how many years it was, but I believe it was in the teens. I want to say in the teens of years. That she was a wife, a mother. Her father disowned her because they homeschooled. And there was zero communication, basically, between daughter and son, daughter and father, and grandchildren there. One day that whole thing broke and she saw her sin of the hatred and the disrespect and the dishonor that she had toward her father. A lot of things changed in her life. I'm telling you, a lot of things changed in her life. You won't have revival. God will seem far away from you. You will be miserable if you haven't come to the bottom of this one. If you want to turn with me to Matthew 15, we're getting down to the end here. In Matthew 15, The Pharisees had some crazy rule, if I can call it that, that what was due, the honor, the respect, the support that was due to the parents, if you would give that to the temple, if you would give that to the temple, which the Pharisees were the recipients of, then they were the advantage, they got the advantage, you didn't have to honor your parents. Let's read it here in Matthew 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he, Jesus, answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God?" Not the tradition of the elders, but the commandment of God. "By your tradition. For God commanded," this is in the New Testament, "God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandments of God of none effect by your traditions. He that taketh not care of his own," how does the scripture say, "is worse than an infidel." This is serious. It probably went something like this. That which was, let's say you feel led to go to the mission field, and your old decrepit father needs you. And you say, "Well, I am giving my life to serve the Lord. And you know, that puts away my responsibility to stay home and take care of my father." No, it doesn't. You know, you could put anything in there. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't go to the mission field. There's other ways maybe to take care of our father or mother. Maybe there's other siblings that can take care of it, of them. But if we can't have that attitude. You know, we can't have that attitude. "Well, I'm serving God, so that's their problem. You know, whatever they could have been benefited by me, I'm giving it to God and I'm free." That's what they, in essence, were saying. Jesus came down very, very hard against that. He said, "You have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." So what's in our hearts tonight concerning our parents? Do you have honor? Did you leave respectfully when you left to come to Bible school? Is there anything undone in your relationship? Last winter, one day I got a phone call from a young man, and he was worked up. He was very worked up. He said, "Elvin, my dad just fell 25 feet off a ladder." And he said, "He's refusing to go to the hospital. What should I do?" I'm on the other end of the phone. "Is he alive?" Yeah. "Well, where are you at?" "In the car." "Well, can you talk?" "Yeah, you want to talk to him?" So he hands me the phone, and I'm talking to this man that fell 25 feet off the ladder flat on his back. I couldn't believe my ears. And they're going to the hospital, I'm saying, and he's just groaning, believe me. He is just groaning. He is hurting badly. And he says, I think I just need to rest a little bit and I'll be okay." A little later, I walked up to that man and I said, "Brother, I want to shake the hand of a man who fell 25 feet and didn't break a bone and lived to say it. He's a walking miracle today." But the point that I want to make is this: that young man, His dad was on the one side of the house, 25 feet up on a ladder, and he was on the other side of the ladder of the house working, and he heard his dad fall. And he heard him fall, and he knew where his dad was, 25 feet up in the air. And there was a problem between him and his dad. He was sure he's going to be dead. He was so worked up because he had dishonored his dad the day before. He made things right as fast as he could. He had a chance yet to do that. He humbled himself and got things right very quickly between him and his dad. But you know, not everyone has that opportunity tonight. I want you to just imagine in your mind this chair down here to be a coffin. And tonight, the word came to you that your dad died and he's laying in that coffin. And we're all gathering around and looking in that coffin, and it's your dad or it's your mother. There he is. If that were reality, are things well? If you would look down into that coffin and see your mother lay there, would flashbacks come back to you of the times that you know she groaned washing your clothes when she rather would have not washed these types of clothes? She groaned to hang these types of clothes up. Those hands. Is there anything like that in your life between your mom and dad? Oh, you say, come on. It's normal. Not with God. God gave you a mother and father. And He cares how they feel about you. And He cares how you feel about them. If your father were laying in there, have all your arguments been made right? Have your hidden problems, your hidden disgust, your hidden dishonor been taken care of with your dad? Do business with God. Get right with God. That young man had opportunity to get right with his father when he was sure that his father would be dead. Because not many people fall 25 feet and not have a broken bone. And they did end up going to the hospital then. He agreed to. And he was, needless to say, very, very, very sore for a long time. And he was not a light man. He's probably 250 pounds. Honor thy father and thy mother. Could you hear his pleading voice in that coffin? Son, I don't like your music. But Dad, others listen to it. That is the spirit of this world. That is not the spirit of God's people. Not the spirit of Joseph and David that we heard about. You know, Joseph was out there tending the sheep, and his dad came and said, Joseph, I want you to take this provender to your brothers. Okay, Dad. And off he goes. Runs down there to his brothers, and you know the rest of the story. But he had such a heart of honor that wherever he went, God blessed him. You find life a little hard and a little rough? Well, check this principle out in your life tonight. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to come forward now. If the Lord so prompted you, do come forward and do business with God tonight. Why don't we all stand? We'll have a song. Where's our song leader? Just have a song. Let's all rise to our feet. We'll give opportunity for you to come and make things right between you and God and you and your parents. And maybe tonight you want to drive a stake where I'm going to go home and I'm going to do business with my parents. You just mind the Lord tonight. Shall we sing?
Song number 507.
Tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. All right, I'm going to turn the time over to the moderator. Let him close as he sees fit.